T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I hit him with the pitch, and he stared at me trying to intimidate me, and I'm not going to let that happen. So I looked back at him. He had a few words to say, and he crossed the line and came at me. So I took my hat and glove off, got ready to fight, and that's what got me tossed. So I don't really know what else I could have done in that situation. He just asked what I was looking at, and I said, "I'm looking at you." And the same thing he's doing. You know, I barely grazed him with the pitch, and he flips his bat and stares at me and tried to get big on me. So I stood my ground and gave it right back to him. There's just no need for it, man. And if anything, I feel like, you know, he should have been the one gone, but I don't think anybody should have been ejected.
93.7 The Fan, time is 5:05. It's brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. That is Joe Musgrove's version of what happened last night. Major League Baseball weighing in today. They are going to suspend Josh Donaldson for an extra game. It won't be tonight because he is appealing the decision, so it might not happen against the Pirates here, Chris. But is this baseball doing right by the Pirates?
No, they can't do right by the Pirates. They can do this after the fact crap, which acknowledges tacitly that Josh Donaldson was much more at fault for everything that happened last night than anybody.
So what should baseball do then? How do they
fix
this?
Retroactively award the Pirates, just make them play the game over again where Alex freaking McCray isn't entering
in the bottom of the first?
Now
you sound like a Saints fan
I'm being facetious.
But seriously, what can they do?
I don't think there is, to use legal terms, I don't think there is a satisfactory remedy for this. They threw Musgrove out of the game the same as they threw Donaldson out. And that was wildly out of whack with what each person did. Musgrove's right when he says neither guy should have been tossed, but him being thrown out of that game had a dramatically greater impact on what happened in the game than Donaldson being tossed. There's your starting pitcher for the Pirates. How many pitches? 18 did he throw? A low enough number that he'll pitch again on Thursday, right? He barely broke a sweat. Alex McCray comes in, and you might as well have just stopped the game right there. You want to talk about the pace of play, just stop the game. Let the Braves get the lead and then call it, because they were going to. So there is no remedy there. It's a good thing that, I guess, for Major League Baseball that the Pirates are not profiling right now as a team that's going to be in the playoff race, because if they were to lose maybe a playoff spot by one game, every fan could point back to this game and say,
like they did in 2011 when they lost the Jerry Meals game.
Well,
in
that
Atlanta.
That team was fading. Smart fans knew that team had no shot.
That was like the start
of a downturn, major downturn. Yeah, it was, but that. I think most people knew that a team that was getting real contributions from Chase Darnot, among others,
I think the best way to fix this is by disciplining the crew chief, right? I mean, it's not going to retroactively put Joe Musgrove back on the mound and, you know, keep Alex McCray from entering a game the Pirates were winning very early in the game, but it would at least give me some feeling of justice. Josh Donaldson missing a game down the road against another team does not give me any peace of mind. But if you discipline the person who presided over the entire affair and decided that it was an eye for an eye, a third baseman and starting pitcher were of equal value and should both be tossed, if the guy who makes that decision is disciplined, I feel much better about things. The point of discipline is to curb future behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's to try to make sure that a mistake doesn't happen twice. And if you just ignore it and you do nothing about it, that leads me to believe you as an organization, as a professional sports league, think that your umpire did a good job.
Remember Angel Hernandez in 2013? I have a feeling you'll remember this. There was a play in an Indians and Athletics game, and he ruled that a home run was actually a double. It was a game-tying home run, okay? And it was in the ninth inning of a game. They initiated a video review. The ball clearly on review had cleared the wall and come back onto the field. They did not overturn the call, though, with Peter Gammons opining that he thought Angel Hernandez, because he was opposed to replay, refused to overturn it. Do you remember baseball punishing him for that?
No.
An egregious, egregious error. Not even an error. A willful disobeying of something, a fact, by an umpire. In a pivotal moment in a game, doesn't get supplemental discipline. Why would this? This is a drop in the bucket for baseball.
I've never understood that about professional sports, that you have players that are held accountable. Like Alex McRae sucked last night, so now he's back down to AAA.
Right.
You have managers and administrators that if the team fails, in most cases, in most places, if you don't produce wins, you get fired. You lose your job.
It's a meritocracy.
And
in
with
umpiring,
umpires,
it's not. It's a lifetime appointment.
Yeah, it's like being the Pope or being a Supreme Court justice. Once you get sworn in, you really, you almost have to do something unlawful away from the game to get disciplined. And they might say, well, Andrew, actually, in the long run, the guys who screw up don't get the postseason assignments.
Who cares? Early vacation.
So they don't make extra money.
They make enough as is.
That's their punishment, that they don't get a few thousand dollars on top, or they don't get the prestige or the honor of working those games.
Hold on. If it was enough money working those games, if that mattered, if it was a sum that really made a difference, guys wouldn't screw up as much during the season. They'd actually want to be partaking in it.
I have a conspiracy theory on everything that's happened here. Do you want to hear it?
What do you think?
And it's not like it's not the Pirates are getting bullied or getting the short end of the stick because they're a small market team. I actually, in this case, blame the media for what happened last night.
How
and
so?
I don't just blame. I don't. When I say that in a blanket way, I don't mean I blame sports writers or talk show hosts. I mean I blame the people who work in media. It starts with the Pirates and then it branches out. For example, and Clint Hurdle alluded to this after the game. He said, we always seem to be in the middle of this kind of stuff. I don't think, and I would say this to them, I would say this to Greg if we had him on. There's been a kind of a controversy around the Pirates because of how their team and how their broadcasters have handled the unwritten rules of baseball. And it's been a very real thing with them for the last month. And it might have started on the field, but then it extended out into their own broadcast booth. And then from their own broadcast booth, newspapers picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Radio stations picked up on it. Fans picked up on it. Social media picked up on it. So there's this fervor around the Pirates that one of their ex-players said they throw at guys. We've heard their broadcasters talk about how you have to enforce baseball's unwritten rules, how they dislike opposing players who act or look a certain way. You have the media that reacts to that. You have an incident also that happens in San Francisco the day before or 2 days before that's surrounding unwritten rules and guys maybe getting thrown at and whatnot. And so I could understand with all that around the Pirates how an umpire could make a knee-jerk reaction and just says, you know what, screw it.
So the media prime the pump.
I'm not going to let this happen again. You're out of here, and that's the end of things, and we're not going to let this escalate any further. Where now, because Donaldson's ticked off, Kevin Gausman, who's kind of a red ass too, he comes back the next half inning and he throws at somebody.
Kevin Gausman was chirping at Barti. God knows what he was saying. I don't know.
Hurdle said it.
I think
Hurdle,
Occam's,
Hurdle started pony, this.
Occam's razor here, simplest explanation is usually the best and the correct one, is what Gorman said, which is, oh, he threw his hat and his glove down. That's why I ran him. Them's were fighting gestures, which is so stupid. You know what? Don't give umpires, many of whom are dumb, not in like the they're not smart, but in the they don't understand how to enforce the rules of their game properly. Don't give them credit for actually caring what the media says or being influenced by that stuff. This is Brian Gorman in a moment deciding he wanted to be the whole bleeping show.
Did you know he's related to Kevin Gorman?
Bull.
Didn't Kevin tweet that out last night?
I didn't see it. And I follow Kevin Gorman. I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing like one of those shady deals where I accidentally
I thought he said
somebody.
My brother's name is Brian Gorman.
Oh, yeah, but it's not.
It's not that Brian Gorman.
No, it's not that Brian Gorman.
All right.
This whole thing makes me mad. It's so stupid on so many levels.
Well, that's good because I'm surprised that apathy hasn't set in with the Pirates now that they're five games under 500 and lost four in a row, that there is something out there that can still get you fired up about them, which I guess speaks to your passion about still watching them and covering them and talking about them, which I like. Of all the leagues that we bitch and complain about, which league has the best officiating? The NFL, the NHL, or Major League Baseball?
The best?
Yes.
you know what?
What was that noise you just made?
That was like an
that was your head exploding?
No, that was an exasperated. That was the sound the ball made when it hit Donaldson's jersey. You know what? You're going to think I'm nuts for this. I think baseball's umpires generally do the best job of getting calls correct. I do. Hockey officiating is atrocious. It is a joke, a travesty, to the point where we know that hockey officials will swallow the whistle in service of this idea that we don't want to decide playoff games.
But you made that point earlier. You said that if this were a playoff game last night, Brian Gorman doesn't toss these guys, well, and I agreed with you on that.
That would have actually been the correct thing to do in a playoff game, but in this game as well. I'd rather them have stupid standards for regular season games and not playoff games. Hockey officials say we don't want to determine the outcome by giving a team a power play, and in so doing, ignore the actual rules of the sport. They are inserting themselves into the outcome. Football officials, I think that game is one where too many bad calls are made in service of protecting quarterbacks now to the point where it's almost a farce. I actually think baseball's umpires, even though they don't get balls and strikes right nearly enough, do the best actual job. Man, there are so many bang-bang calls at first base that when you actually watch it, they get it right, 85-90% of the time, and the margin is like 6 inches.
I agree with
you. Shoe above base.
I think I get more upset, though, when there's a missed call in baseball because of the way the umpires act afterwards.
Oh, they're the most arrogant. They're the best, but they're the most arrogant by far. Football officials, I mean, it was almost funny. Ed Hockley doing like the biceps thing. Hockey officials, even though they are incompetent, are largely anonymous.
So we almost had a fight last night in Atlanta.
Musgrove Donaldson would have been quite a tilt.
We did have Cook v. Joe today.
What's the Vegas line on that one if it ever comes
It was
down?
Like...
Was this like a heavyweight battle here?
It reminded me of Vinny and Cook all over again.
Well, those are some fun memories.
And I want to play it for you, and I want you to try to...
Oh, man!
See if you can fix this maybe strained relationship.
Wait, so Pop was in there for this, right?
I believe so, yes. In the middle, caught in the middle, if you will. He's in the back seat, and Mom and Dad are just screaming
just
at each other.
Just jawing at each other, and he's putting... Yep. Is he like talking to his teddy bear at that point, just like hoping it all stops?
Also, the Pirates have called a guy up for tomorrow's start against Atlanta. Eric will tell you about that. And also why the Penguins aren't trading Phil Kessel. It's the PM team on the fan. All right, What's at Stake is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Give your dad a sizzling gift on Father's Day dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. The Phil Kessel trade rumors seemingly coming to an end today with a couple of news outlets in town reporting that Jim Rutherford wants to now keep Kessel, maybe forced to keep Kessel. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But in terms of what's at stake, Chris, how about the friendship that we thought was brewing between Ron Cook and Joe Starkey? It seemed like after maybe a little bit of a rocky start, that those two guys had really hit it off together. I think Ron even started to embrace some of Joe's quirks.
Yep, his idiosyncratic behaviors.
They'd make little jokes about Joe's treats and the way Joe ends interviews.
Yep. Oh, I think they were in maybe something of an upset to people.
A honeymoon stage.
They had entered a honeymoon stage and stayed right in it and were kind of doing a little best friends routine.
Well, I think that ended today.
Oh, yeah?
I think we're not at DEFCON
1,
but we're
getting there.
This might be the
threat
start,
level yellow.
This might be the start of a Vinny and Cook situation.
Yeah.
I'll let you judge for yourself.
Now you mentioned Marte. Do you think Marte or Moran is a better player?
Marte.
The numbers are almost identical. Some Moran is better than Marte.
Wait a second.
Marte.
We're talking about Starling Marte and Colin Moran breath.
I'm talking numbers. Moran's numbers are better in some categories.
He's having a good year.
In others.
He's having a good year.
I'm just throwing out the fact that their numbers are almost identical.
For
now,
Marte,
you don't think of Moran in the terms you think of Marte.
No.
They're not on the same planet, Ron. If you asked every personnel director, every GM in the league, who would you rather have, Starling Marte or Colin Moran?
Joe, you're missing my point. But I said, based on the numbers, they're almost identical.
Okay.
So number
who's
wise,
a better player, Melky Cabrera or Starling Marte? Who's a better baseball player?
Well, I'm just
player?
Saying the numbers. That's all.
So what do you think? That Moran's as good a player? Or?
I'm just not sold on Marte being a great player. That's all. I know he's in an unbelievable hot streak right now.
Well, what's the point of bringing up Moran? We're talking about trading major pieces.
I'm just saying, Joe, that Moran's numbers are in some cases better, basically the same, in a ton fewer at bats. So we're raving about what a great player Marte is.
Nobody said what a great player nobody Marte is. Saying that, he's been an above-average player for a long time and would be a guy that other teams, I would think, would be highly interested in.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, would you agree with that?
Never mind. I'm sorry.
Would you agree that Marte's a guy that other teams would be highly interested in and that Colin Moran is a borderline starter in the majors?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I don't know how those two got in the same breath.
Oh, I could hear Joe just seething. And I could also hear and visualize Ron also seething.
And then you have Pompeiani, who's just stuck in the middle, who couldn't get a word in edgewise there.
If I'm Pomp,
Bob could have played mediator and asserted himself into that and fixed.
Yeah.
Bob has a way of
Bob's
doing
that. Bob's the godfather.
With Bob could have said, guys, hold on here.
Bob could have used the tone of command and just told Joe to cut Joe off. Joe would have deferred to Bob, I think. Sorted it out between those two and kept the parents from arguing. Instead, I don't know, that was tough to listen to. That made me uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, I should have never brought it up.
Oh, Cookie with a great line there to try to just cut Joe off at the knees. Is that showing your belly a little bit, like in the animal kingdom? You're like, oh, whoa, nothing to see here. Hey.
I think in relationships, you have to pick your battles.
Cook didn't want to pick that one?
No, I'm surprised Joe did. Because
you think Joe sensed weakness there?
Ron, I think I think I should, let me make sure I have the right person here. So David Todd, who used to be the Pirates pre- and post-game host.
Correct.
Put out like a blind, this is player A and player B.
Yeah.
And
David
one guy
likes
was Moran and one guy was Marte.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that that's what Ron was referencing
in
that conversation. And Joe wasn't having anything to do with it. He wasn't. And Ron said, that's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm still not sure what Ron's point was. That Moran is having a good year in his good year is a Marte bad year?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's one of those blind item statistical comparisons that eliminates context completely. Like, Marte plays a much more important position defensively, is much better on the bases, is much better defensively in general, has an obvious higher ceiling and a track record comparatively with Colin Moran. Did Ron get snookered in here by a simple player A, player B, and just couldn't let it go? Like, just wanted to bring it up because it struck him funny?
I think Ron wanted to make an observation, and Joe wasn't just going to let that statement stand on its own.
You know, I've been in that boat with Joe before where he wants to dig
in. He's in the mood to.
Where he wants to dig in on something, and I feel like I used to get in trouble for just, it was both.
You would be Musgrove. You would stand your ground.
Yeah,
Joe would come out like Donaldson.
Yeah, it was both guns blazing from me. I wasn't ever going to cow in that situation. I was going to bow my neck and start trying to throw inside. And then Joe and I were pretty good at putting the hurt feelings behind us. Because when Josh was still on the show way back when, he was like the Pomp role.
Well,
he would also try to stoke things,
that's
too.
That's why I was surprised, because I thought Pompeiani, his presence. That both of those guys, they don't want to argue with Bob around. You know, they don't want to make things.
They
want to
save their ugly. Yeah, save the ugly stuff for when Pomp's not there. Pomp's like their guest. He is their guest in a way. He's a co-host.
Yeah, you invite somebody over for your house for a nice
night. You don't have a knockdown, drag out verbal altercation. You save that till they're gone.
You don't want to make that person feel awkward.
No, that's rude.
Maybe Bob could not take control of the situation because it was just so unbelievably awkward for him.
If I'm Bob, I think about walking out of the room in the middle. You know what?
Maybe Bob goes out and brings in some snacks for them.
If Bob walks out of the room in the middle because it's so obviously awkward, I think that's a signal to both men. Like, what are you doing?
They calm down. Maybe Bob's like,
Joe would have been so taken aback by it, he would have said, Cookie, Pomp just walked at Bob walked out of the room here. This has gone too far. I'm sorry, Cookie. David Todd has come between us.
Yeah.
And then Ron would have probably said, you know, there would have been some sort of
also interesting that Starkey would defend the honor of Marte, no?
Little bit. I think though, as much as Joe is willing to be critical of Marte, obviously, the idea of him being lumped in with Colin Moran is a bridge too far, and frankly, I agree with
Matt. As a producer, what do you do in that spot? You just let him go? You try to get in the middle there?
Matt's over there looking
I'd probably just let him go.
Matt's over there looking at the pit too deep right now. What are you talking about? You think he cares?
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up, we will sort through the latest on Phil Kessel. Now he's not getting traded. We'll tell you who put the kibosh on that next.
Upgrade the defense, and I think they're trying to do that. The Penguins have always been a very proactive franchise when it comes to acquiring NHL players, so I could see them doing something, and I think one of the things they really need to do besides potentially trading Phil, I'm not saying they have to trade Phil, but if they want to trade Phil, besides that, they need to upgrade their defense.
Do they need to upgrade it with a specific type of player?
I don't have time to play the answer part of that. We'll just leave that kind of floating out there. That was Chris asking awesome questions to Pierre Maguire. And if not a Phil Kessel trade, then what was broached? And Pierre said defensive help. And this is now relevant because Jim Rutherford telling multiple outlets that Phil Kessel trade is now unlikely. It's probably not going to happen. So if that's the case, then what does this team do? Get better on defense. All right, they've got 7 defensemen under contract for next year. You're going to have to move at least a couple of those guys. Just reading through, Chris, what is in the Post-Gazette and what's in Josh Yoey's story, you know whose name I didn't see? Jack Johnson. And I don't think that's because Josh Yoey's a really good hockey reporter. I don't think Josh sat down with Jim Rutherford and failed to ask him about Jack Johnson, who was also in a trade that got nixed. So not seeing a quote there from Rutherford on Johnson makes me think that he's probably trying to trade him. And everything we heard from Rutherford during the season or at the end of the year about Jack Johnson was probably lip service.
Isn't that better than him actually being serious, though, about it, at least? I would not want to hear those comments from the end of the year about Jack Johnson and find out through the GM's actions, i.e. not trading him, that, oh, no, he really likes him. God, I hope they're trying like hell to move Jack Johnson. This whole Phil Kessel saga is not really about the Phil Kessel contract or his production or him getting along or not with Mike Sullivan. It was about the idea that they felt, even with a no-movement clause, he was the most attractive chip that they had to trade to get out from under the salary cap, to be able to have some flexibility to make the moves they wanted to make.
They only have $3 million in cap space
3.2,
right now.
And they have Pettersson, who needs to get a raise. McCann, you have Rutherford mentioning.
Murray?
Murray has to get a new contract. And you know what? You'd have a lot more space.
And Schultz.
Schultz, I think, is just going to end up
what?
Not here eventually.
So he's just a lame duck next year and then he's gone?
I think it could be. Don't you? I mean, if you were going to have a guy like that be a lame duck, wouldn't the team you'd have try to do that be a Penguins team that maybe could win a cup or thinks it can win a cup at least? The point here is Jack Johnson and Patrick Hornquist are the bad deals hamstringing
Jim Rutherford. Very easily imagine Josh Yoey saying to Jim Rutherford, all right, well, how about the Jack Johnson part of this trade? What's going on there? And Jim being like, is this off the record? And then he tells him, look, yeah, we're...
Stop that recorder.
We're doing everything, yeah. It's in like
1980s
he's recorder.
Like very calmly, turn off the tape.
All right. The Fan Hotline brought to you by Armstrong Business. Other ways to get in touch with us, the Edgar Snyder and Associates Fan Text Line. You can also follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Coming up next, we have the NASCO preview show with Jack Sorensic and Dan Zangrilli. The Pirates are calling up Mitch Keller. We've got the latest on what happened with Joe Musgrove. More fallout from the MLB on that. And the Pirates introduced their first-round pick today. So they've got a busy show. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 on 93.7 The Fan. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.